The Centers for Disease Control reported yesterday that someone has died because of the outbreak linked to romaine lettuce. It's the first death linked to this E. coli outbreak. The death was reported in California, but state and federal health officials did not immediately provide any other details. The CDC updated its numbers on the outbreak yesterday, revealing that 121 people have gotten sick in 25 states. At least 52 people have been hospitalized, including 14 with kidney failure. Consumers in Georgia and nationwide are being advised to avoid romaine lettuce because of the E. coli outbreak. I talked about the outbreak with Patricia Griffin. She's the chief of enteric diseases at the epidemiology branch at the CDC. Thanks for joining us today, Patricia.
So I'm glad to.
So how was E. coli first discovered and what's its scientific name?
It's called Escherichia coli 0157H7, and it's one of the Shiga toxin-producing E. coli. And it was first discovered to be a pathogen by a joint investigation by CDC and several state health departments. There were two outbreaks separated by several months in 1982, and they were both at fast food restaurants, and the people developed a severe form of bloody diarrhea. They were really, really sick. The hospitalization rate was high. And with the first outbreak, local people looked for the usual causes of diarrheal illness and didn't find it. And then they sent specimens from people's stools to CDC. And CDC couldn't find any of the usual bugs that caused these illnesses, but had some suspicions. But we didn't have enough data to know what was the cause. And then a few months later, there was a very similar outbreak. And a microbiologist named Joy Wells at CDC said, I think it's this E. coli 0157 that's in their stool specimens that no one thinks is a pathogen, but I think that's the cause.
All right. What are the symptoms of someone with the bacteria?
So when someone gets sick with E. coli, they get it by somehow getting it into their mouths. And then it sort of, you know, starts to multiply in the bowel. And it does that for 3 or 4 days. And then the person starts by getting non-bloody diarrhea. And then in most of the people who end up seeking medical care, the diarrhea then becomes bloody within a day. And it can be a little bit of blood, or it can look like the stool is all blood. And sometimes the doctors don't think it's a diarrheal illness. They think they're just bleeding from their bowel. The person often has really bad stomach cramps, and women will say it was worse than childbirth. And they'll sometimes have vomiting, nausea. Usually they don't have a high fever, but they feel really, really sick.
Okay. And can it be transferred between people, someone, person to person?
This is a bad bug, and it can be transmitted in a variety of ways, including directly from one person to another. So, yes, it can be transmitted by food, by water that's not disinfected, and that includes swimming water, pools, or amusement parks that have water themes that aren't adequately disinfected can transmit it when people get that water in their mouths. People who contact baby animals at petting zoos can get it if they touch anything the animal's feces touched, and then they put their hands in their mouths. And people can get it from one person to another. If you change your baby's diaper and then put your fingers in your mouth, you could get it. And young children can transmit it between themselves. This is a bad bug. Certainly, this bacteria does cause death, and it causes deaths in two main ways. One is that some people develop a type of kidney failure called hemolytic uremic syndrome, and 3 to 5% of those people die with that illness. The other way that people typically die is their bowel disease can be so bad that they can actually get little holes in their bowel, and they can actually die from the bowel disease. That type of death tends to happen much more in elderly people than in anyone else.
Okay. So are there any treatments?
The major treatment, and it's a really important treatment, is supportive care, and that includes making sure that a person with infection, if it's severe, and I'll remind you, there can be more mild illnesses. Some people have non-bloody diarrhea. But if you have severe infection, you want to make sure the person gets enough fluids, and that can help prevent the kidneys from shutting down. We don't know if antibiotics could help with this infection, but there's some very good evidence that certain antibiotics can increase the risk of kidney failure.
Okay. So when I went into my local grocery store and I saw that the romaine lettuce was gone, I saw the CDC, you know, warning there when all, you know, looking at the empty shelves, the first thing I was trying to do is remember when was the last time I had romaine lettuce. And I'm sure that that has made many people very nervous. And I'm wondering, what's the estimated time that romaine lettuce will contain this warning?
So as far as the warnings, we have you covered. There's very clear, and I know you've seen those messages from CDC about what you should do if you don't know what type of lettuce you're about to eat. And there's very clear warnings about romaine lettuce. So we have you covered. And as things change, when it becomes safe, we'll let you know. So that's fine. And as far as romaine lettuce that you might have eaten in the past, the incubation period for this illness is typically 3 or 4 days and not more than 10 days. So I think we're way out on the incubation period. So I think the major thing now is just to heed the warnings.
That was Dr. Patricia Griffin, the chief of enteric diseases at the epidemiology branch of CDC.